Moving on. Okay. Hmm. Dale Scar asks, how do you brew your favorite hot beverage?
Oh, right. Now, if we're talking about tea here, my mother and my aunts were very much high tea fans. High tea is a ritual in England. And my parents were much older when I was born, so we're going back a long, long time when high tea was the thing. So you would always, you have to put the hot water in the pot, and you have to have the tea cozy around it. You add the tea from a tea caddy with a strainer, you know, no tea bags, they just, no tea bags. And you would add the milk later. No, yeah, tea first, milk afterwards. And you would stir it three times, tap the spoon, tick, tick, tick on the cup three times. You wouldn't stir someone else's because that's considered bad luck. And you would then leave the tea to brew for a minute or so. And that would give you the perfect... It was almost like the Japanese tea ceremony in a way. The English high tea ceremony is all based around having the perfect cuppa, so you could then engage in what was really important about tea, and that was having a good gossip about everybody else in the town.
Interesting. All right, cool. Grumpy Bear is Dope asks, what's your favorite genre of music and what's your favorite song?
Okay, so I've kind of like already said that I'm a big Sinatra fan.
Right.
And I guess my favorite genre is swing jazz. You know, 40s and 50s. If I could go back in time, I would have been there at the Sands Motel in 1950 watching Frankie and Dean and Sammy Davis on stage. That would have been it for me. My favorite song is Frank Sinatra's version of Moonlight Serenade by Glenn Miller, which is absolutely beautiful. I don't think that you could ever write a song that was more perfectly put together.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Sands?
No, I never made it to Las Vegas. When I went to America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, if you ever decide to come visit, we'll drive to the Sands, buddy. All right.
Your country is so bloody big. I mean, I made it to Texas. And I was thinking, I looked on the map, Texas to Las Vegas. It's not that far.
Oh,
is it?
No.
It's only a few inches. No.
Yeah, that's like a 2-day drive, man. No, it would not actually, from where I'm at, it would not be a short drive, but it's drivable if you have a day.
Right. Anyway, you're on. We will go to Las Vegas and I will play blackjack in the Sands Hotel and I will win.
It's I've actually been there. It's not like it was then. But all right, Casserole 303. Do you have a favorite TV show that you binge or just like to come back to?
Can I cheat and say three? I will, because again, you know, I'm very much an eclectic person. I have a wide variety of tastes. There's not something that I say, this is what I like, I don't like anything else. So there was a show when I was a very young kid called, it was Robinson Crusoe. It was black and white version, a German production that the BBC showed in the days when we had three channels and everybody saw everything at the same time because there were no video recorders and all that stuff.
You just confused like 3/4 of the audience, just so you know.
Yeah. And it was in black and white. And it was shown pretty much every summer for about 10 years when I was growing up. And one actor on his own on this desert island. And it was just so magical. The whole idea behind it, it was bittersweet, it was lonely, but at the same time you were rooting for this character. It just, the music that accompanied it was gorgeous, absolutely breathtaking. And the guy, I mean, Diesel Hoffman, I think his name was, he was a German actor, absolutely embodied Robinson Crusoe for me, and was the main reason why I started getting interested in, I read Robinson Crusoe, I read Treasure Island because of watching this TV series. House, I'm a big fan of Hugh Laurie. Okay. And I think House is one of the best TV series of the last 20 years. The idea that House and Wilson were Holmes and Watson. So right. it was Sherlock Holmes, but in medical terms. And Moriarty wasn't the villain. The villain each week was this strange illness that he had to solve the problem for. Okay, it got a little bit, unbelievable in certain places, but still there was something about it which grabbed my attention. I still watch selected episodes from time to time. There are some of my favorites there. There's the okay. the one. If do you know the series House?
Oh yeah. Oh, very familiar with it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And what's the third one you binge or watch? You said there's three.
Black Sails.
Oh yes, I love Black Sails. which you already mentioned Treasure Island. So for those that don't know, it's a lead up to Treasure Island, basically. So
it's it's a prequel. It uses, it introduces the young, the young Long John Silver, and Captain Flint. It mixes historical accuracy with fantasy, because a lot of the characters are historically accurate, but they play fast and loose with them. You know, you got Blackbeard in there, for example. But I do think
the interest of sort of the conflict of the, to me, some of the political, like you said, the historical accuracy of the politics. And I've spent some time in the Caribbean and looked at some of the history there. And so there is an element of historical accuracy, some. And like you said, then they kind of play fast and loose with the piracy and the battles. But the elements and the political ideas they mix in, they're pretty accurate. It was pretty interesting. You know, really, the kind of conflict between the crown, obviously, and the you know, the British Navy at the time, and the different pirates, and you know, do they cooperate? Don't they? And you know, are they? Mm. You know, it's, I'll give too much away, but it's I love Black Sails, absolutely awesome.
Well, so. I've said this to you before. I think that all Englishmen are smugglers and pirates at heart. I think we have that in our genetic makeup. And I would have made a damn good pirate. I wouldn't have been Flint. I would have been a quartermaster, because that would have been my role. I think I would have been very good at the logistics of the thing, organizing, managing the crew, that kind of thing. And it was very historically, pirate crews were very democratic. They were extreme.
Right.
They were, excuse me, wonderful models of society. You know, at a time when an average man could be, or woman, or whoever you were, you were judged by your abilities rather than your class.
Right. And your commitment.
True.
And race.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter if you came from a slave background or whatever. Like, it was your commitment to the crew. And your, you know, that mattered. And you're right. The ability of, you know, somebody charismatic to keep the crew together is kind of the crux of the story. So
they were true egalitarian societies. And Edward Teach, Blackbeard, the most famous pirate of all.
Yep.
He spoke like me. He talked a bit. He talked a bit like that because he was from Bristol, which is my part of the world. So when I do pirate, audios, I'm doing an authentic Blackbeard voice, my darling.
I love it. All right. The next few questions also from Casserole 303 are all kind of production related, right? So do you ever get bored with recording audios? And if so, what do you do to make things interesting again?
Yeah, I do sometimes. I mean, I've been through, you know this yourself, you get.
Yeah, I do.
Jaded. A lot of it, because I record, predominantly I record scripts. This is no reflection on the script writers out there. There's some fantastic writers, but so often you're faced with scripts that are the same thing. And I understand why people write them, because they get the listens. But I prefer something different, something more original. And if I come across the same thing over and over again, I just sort of, I'll take a bit of a break. I'll do some writing myself. I'll listen to a few of the scripts. I don't listen to many, not as many as I used to. So I'm more selective with what I do listen to. Or I'll read a book, something for inspiration. I will watch a television series. I will go for a long walk and just kind of reconnect with what I'm doing this for. Because I don't know about you, Priest, but part of the reason that I record audios is because I like telling stories.
Right.
And if I see a good story, then I'll want to record it. So, you know, any writers out there, concentrate on the stories, please. Not the oh dear, I've come. No, none of that, please.
But you bring up a valid point. I've talked about this in previous podcasting, and I won't, you know, digress here, but there is there's definitely some predominant styles and story types that will probably get upvotes, right?
And
don't get me wrong, those are great and I love them as well, and you know, and so on, and so, and it is discouraging to not get those sometimes, but at the same time, like you, I would agree, I really like to perform stories that are sometimes different, but in doing those, I kind of know I'm not going to get upvotes. And honestly, one of the shocking things to some degree, I mean, those that are familiar with your audience, well, or mine, know that you and I have done multiple collaborations. I freaking love doing that. But it takes a lot of work. But the sad thing is, they don't get a lot of upvotes to historically.
Yeah, I mean, I've done...
As an example, I
would consider myself, and I say this not boastfully, but I would consider myself the king of collaborations on GWA. I would challenge any male performer to say that they've recorded more collaborations than I have. I can actually prove that.
If you look over your 5 years, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I love doing them, but like you say, they get very well. Not few, but relatively few listens.
Right.
Having said that, I would much rather.
I don't know about listens. If you look at the listens, they get a lot of secret listens, right? Which tells me there's a lot of women out there that are enjoying themselves, and I'm flattered. To the multi male audios, but they don't get a lot of initial upvotes. Interestingly,
that's true, which is
kind of interesting. Then there's difference. Mm. You know, they don't. So thanks to those people that listen. I'm just as an example, right? Because those are definitely different stories. Creatively, they're different. And, you know, again, our fan base knows we've been fortunate enough to have a couple of awesome writer friends who've helped us write custom stories. And that's a great, you know, for me, that's a refreshing time, right? Because you're not just the same boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, whatever, go out to dinner, you know, go back, what, you know, which is fine. I like those simple scripts too. They're nice, but it's fun to do a different story. I mean, I don't know that too many other people have done a BDSM club public display story like we most recently did, right? That's probably a pretty rare this probably a pretty rare story, you know, and I think it's a fucking awesome writing. And I think we did great on the production. I would challenge from a story structure standpoint. It's pretty good. It's not everybody's kink, and I get it. So it didn't get a lot of upvotes as an example, but it was fun to do. But anyway, that's just an example. Okay, the next question's kind of related, and you kind of answer some of it, so I don't know. But it says, do you have any advice for a performer or writer who's stuck in a creative rut or block?
I would say, I mean, I used to record every single day. A lot of that had to do with boredom. I had time on my hands. But I would say record what makes you happy.
Right.
And I've become more selective in the things that I record over recent years.
Right.
And, you know, it's not a job. I mean, I know people who make this their full-time job. They have Patreons, they have OnlyFans sites, they you know, this is their job. It's not. For me, it's a hobby. And any hobby should be based around the fact that you enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, what on earth are you doing it for? So if you're stuck in a rut, read, watch TV, listen to music, find a story. Find something that interests you. It may be a script, you know. It may be that, like I said, you know, you might be watching Black Sails. Someone posts a script, a script about pirates, and you think, "I'll have that." Yeah, that's me. Or you may find your own voice, which is even better. You know, when you find your own voice,
right?
It's so amazing.